Blog Talk Radio.
I still believe in marriage is made in heaven, and that love will conquer all. I've been hurt, but not deceived. Regardless to what has happened, I still believe. All things work together for my good. Opposition comes against me, yet I proceed. Cause no matter what I'm facing, I still believe.
Or on our unlimited call-in lines, 1-347-945-5229. We have people from all over the country and sometimes all over the world that tune in and they talk to us and give us hey. We know we have one or two out of Germany that call here from time to time, out of England, out of several other places. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We talk to the world, and we want you to talk with us. So, Styx, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Daughter's coming home.
Oh, yours is coming home. Mine is coming home next week. And I'm so happy that that's going to happen. I haven't seen my daughter in since August, the end of August. My goodness.
I haven't seen mine since
Yeah, well, just before Labor Day, we came back on home on Labor Day weekend, and from dropping her off at college, and boy, I miss my daughter.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Daughters are something.
Yes, they are, and especially when you raise them right.
Yep.
And you know, mine is doing well at school.
I got to brag on mine. She just had natural gas put in her house out there, and she did all the plumbing herself.
Mm-hmm. Once again, when they were raised right, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
It does not matter. But, you know, we were talking about some things, and, you know, she's interested in a lot of things that I am as well. And, you know, she's just telling me about how people are where she's at in her neck of the woods over in Indiana. And I don't think that they, you know, as a whole, I don't think they really wanted the election to turn out like it was. But as I look back on everything, I've been, I guess, you know, looking back to see what was really going on here. Did we really, really create a whole class of people in this country that'll vote for anything, and I just don't know. I just don't know. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that it was by the margin it was. I thought it would be by more paper thin. But now we're hearing about irregularities in different places.
Look, how do you have entire precincts that didn't get a single Romney vote? I mean, that just boggles my mind. If you've got entire precincts in Ohio, and there was zero votes for Mitt Romney. And then you've got a bunch of other precincts where there was one vote for Mitt Romney. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Not to me. It doesn't make sense to me. And I do know, I heard some statistics that the evangelicals did not show up in the numbers that they could have shown up in. And had they done that, it would have been a different ball game all the way, all together. So I'm looking at this thing, but then I'm looking at Alan West, and they're trying to make him out to be the bad guy down in Florida. And he's saying, look, in one of these races, you had 20% more votes than there are people in the county.
Because you've got all those people from New York that vote in New York and Florida. They've already found there's a lot of that going on.
Well, you can't do that. They can't do that. So my whole thing is, did the election really go like it is, or did they really, quote unquote, steal the election like they always tell you?
Well, you know, my dad spent a good part of his childhood in Chicago, and when President Obama started running for president,
mm-hmm.
he told me, he said, everything comes out of Chicago dirty.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, I mean, vote early and often.
Well, you know, the graveyards, you know, those people still vote. It just, they only vote Democrat.
And they've already been caught busing people from Chicago into Milwaukee where you can register and vote at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's been proven that's been being done for years.
Right. Yeah. Well, but the thing is that they don't care. They had the Black Panthers out again with sticks,
yeah.
And it, you know, trying to keep people from voting differently than they wanted them to vote. So, I mean, what does it mean? Do we believe in our process anymore? Is this process fair? The way we're looking at things, is this fair? And I don't know, man. You know, like I said,
with all the really voting stuff and everything that's going on, it is just opening the door for voter fraud. I mean, on both sides. I mean, I'm not
yes.
going to say it's only
right.
It's only one party that does it, because they just found a Republican woman voting twice here in this election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the ID thing. I mean, that should be a no-brainer. In fact, I read a report that said that. They were angry. They weren't angry, but the UN inspectors couldn't believe that you didn't have to show an ID to vote as part of the United States.
Mm-hmm. I'm on the Drudge report here, and they're saying that that Obama's going to create a some economic growth. I don't know how that's going to happen, but and unstoppable. Well, I got to look at this. It says Obama's third term. Well, we hear that a lot whenever anybody's in office that the other side doesn't like. I can't tell. Now, Sticks, they're saying they cannot hear you, but I have you blasting here. I hope that you guys can hear now. I hope that you guys can hear in the chat room because I do have him pretty hot over here. So, computer guy, let me know, or Stan, let me know when you hear him or don't hear him. Okay? But I don't know. You know, I'm not afraid of any of this stuff. I don't think he would last that long in this country. I think that there would somebody would stop it before it got out. Okay, General Pedraeus is retiring, saying he had an affair. The FBI was okay. I don't know.
Right.
So now, since the FBI was investigating this, General Petraeus, is he the linchpin for Benghazi and what happened over there?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's already been over there last week or week before last. He went over and did his own investigation. But here's what's kind of funny is, supposedly this affair started when he was still a general and he was in Afghanistan.
Right.
Now, who vetted him to be head of the CIA? Because, I mean, I'm just a nobody, and I had an FBI special background investigation. Believe me, they'll pull your security clearance right now for as an enlisted man for having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
So who vetted this guy? If this has been going on all these years, how come they didn't know about it ahead of time? Or did they know about it ahead of time, and now he's going to say something that they don't want him to say, so they tried to blackmail him?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say this. The covers are off of this administration, and those of you who support it, I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you that I want you to watch over the next month the things that come out that are going to be the truth, because now the journalists that have you're good now. The journalists that have been really not reporting anything negative on President Obama is now going to deal with the situation at hand here now. This is really going to be something for us to look at. What happened in Benghazi? What happened with General Petraeus? What happened with FEMA up in the north where those people are not getting treated when they excoriated George Bush? George Bush told them, if those levees break, we will not be able to get in there to service you. Get out. The Kathleen Blanco did not give the order. She said, we'll give that order when they need to get out of here. I remember it like it was yesterday. Okay. Mayor Nagin had no plan. But yet a young schoolboy, 10 years old, stole a school bus and went to his own neighborhood and got his people out of the neighborhood.
Right.
Now, does that make sense to you?
Nothing with government makes sense to me.
Thank you.
You know, they closed FEMA offices for snow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how insane is that?
Right.
Private people, it's got to take. We got to take our country back, and we got to make people understand the government is not your friend.
No, it's not. No, it is not, and it is not a good thing because it is going to be really, really messed up. But before we go any further, I want to make this announcement. We are Valley businesses and organizations are uniting to help Hurricane Sandy victims. So if you want to help the Hurricane Sandy through here at WSOM 600, here at Tracy and Friends, in different places, you may drop off unperishable goods and paper products, et cetera, blankets. They need all type of things, you know, the non-perishable food items, batteries, new blankets, hand warmers, and the like. You can drop them off at the Mahoning County GOP headquarters, 621 Boardman Canfield Road, right across from Giant Eagle, and I believe Ambassador Technologies at 3622 Belmont Avenue, Liberty Township, behind McDonald's. And we're waiting. We're working on a couple, I think, as Nemen's IGA food stores in Struthers on Cree Street, on McCartney Road as well, and at Ryan's Chair, 2935 Glenwood Avenue in Youngstown, and at Charlie Staples New Barbecue that we hit, howdy, 372 West Rand Avenue. I know many of you know where that's at. But we're accepting all types of donations at those places. Your non-perishable food items, batteries, new blankets, hand warmers for the victims of Sandy. Yes, there's people giving all over, but you know what? Government is never big enough nor fast enough to do it all. They are not meant to be. They're not designed to be. They're designed to keep the peace and to protect the United States. They can't stop all natural disasters. So therefore, those that have been blaming Bush for what happened down in New Orleans should just stop, because this is worse than what happened down in New Orleans, the response that they're getting on the North Coast, on the East Coast. So what I would say to you is, let's not put so much of our faith inside of government. The people up there are working with each other, and they're keeping each other safe and warm to a certain degree. That's what I've been saying. So anyway, I want you to go out there and check it out, and drop off your perishable food items. And in a minute, we're going to be back to talk to you about what's on your mind and hear exactly what you think about what's going on in the country. Is it a good thing what's going on? Is the fiscal cliff going to are we going to fall over the cliff? Okay. I told you before the election, I thought that this president was driving us off the edge of the cliff. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And what happens when that system? It's going to water it down. That's what it's going to be. People, you have to understand what just happened. So we ask you to wake up. Wake up. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back once again here, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Whoa, hold on. I guess we're back this time for real. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Give us a call here, 330-781-9600, or at our unlimited internet lines, 1-347-945-5229. Let us know what you're thinking about. I wish you would call us, Coffee, because I'm interested in what you're saying there in the chat room. I can't share it all because it's too voluminous, and I don't want to mistake your point. But if you get some time, give us a call, 1-347-945-5229. I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. So now you were just listening to a clip while we were on break just now, man. And what was it about?
There's a computer programmer. His name's Clinton Eugene Curtis. He testified under oath before the Ohio State Legislature. That he wrote programs to rig elections.
Wow.
And he said in his testimony that if he did it, unless you had the source code, the Boards of Elections would never know it'd been done.
I believe that.
And he wrote this program in 2000 for a Florida congressman.
Okay. Now.
For that particular election.
And guess what? What do you get? What do you do with that?
Well, the thing is, he's completely and totally undetected. He said you would actually have to go and, take the receipts and recount the paper ballots and verify them against what the machine said.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I would also like to explore that because I do not believe that with as high as unemployment as we had, with us going over the fiscal cliff, with all the people that came out to vote, I see no way that we got that many people voting for 4 more years of that.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, it doesn't make any sense at all that you have entire precincts without a single Romney vote.
I agree.
I mean, just look at playing cards. Just look at the odds of that if you were in Vegas. I mean, it's a virtual impossibility. That you could have entire precincts without a single Romney vote.
Oh, I hear you.
But yet nobody's going to investigate.
No, because he owns the government. Who's going to investigate and who's afraid? Of ruffling the feathers of this administration, because he showed you right that the day after when he talked about he was going to work together. But then he said, people want action. And then he made sure that you knew that he was going to raise taxes on the rich. And I told somebody, I said, the rich aren't going to stand by and let you, take their money.
And that's what the average person that voted for President Obama doesn't understand. It's not the rich people that he's going to take money from. It's the small businessman here in town that's making $250,000, $300,000 because the Jim Rogerses of the world and the Warren Buffetts of the world, they are either going to get the tax code twisted into their favor or they're going to leave the country.
Right, because they don't have to.
Right. You know, Jim Rogers is one of the richest men in the world, and he's already moved his entire family to Singapore.
That's right.
The future is Asia.
It is.
If
I think we can too, but I think this was, well, I'll say this. I don't know whether this was our best chance because, as you knew, I was not a hard-line Romney person because I felt that he was pretty close to being as much as a progressive as President Obama, just on a different side. So, different camp of him. But my point is this, is that at least the right side progressives want a strong America. And for America to be strong, business has to be its number one push. It has to be. You have to open up the number one push. But I think on top of that, something we're not realizing is that I think that morally, because we are morally bankrupt, that I think that we're on our way down a slope because God is going to let it happen versus that he caused it to happen. He's telling us, get it together. And we're just ignoring everything that he's said or spoke or anything. Totally ignoring it.
Right, right. You know, I think we're moving out from underneath this pressure.
I do too.
God doesn't follow you. You know, you got to follow God. And I think that we're going to see more of these disasters.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're also going to see a more active UN within the United States. I think this Agenda 21 thing is going to get shoved down our throats if we don't do something about it quickly.
Absolutely.
Less than 12 hours after the election, Hillary Clinton was signing on to that small arms treaty.
Signed on to it, which she said before she was going to do, which is crazy.
So, well, yeah, we're giving our sovereignty away more and more every day. And I just hope the governors, now the president says he wants to pull the fracking regulations back to D.C. like he did the coal regulations, and I'm hoping that the governors are going to stand up and make a 10th Amendment on these.
Right.
I don't even think the federal government's got any constitutional right to regulate any mineral extraction.
I hear you.
And I wish the governors would get up on their hind legs and make a 10th Amendment argument to take to the Supreme Court, because this president is going to destroy all energy in this country. You will see $8-$10 a gallon gasoline by 2016 if nobody stops him.
Right.
Because he's already said he's hired Stephen Chu as the energy secretary, and Stephen Chu has said that we need European priced fuel in this country to promote his green pie in the sky dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ain't gonna work. You know, the physics on green energy just do not work.
And no.
I don't know. These people are supposed to be so intelligent, but yet everything they do is just stupid. Absolutely stupid.
Well, once again, I don't think that they're trying to do anything to help. I think what they're doing is they're making a government that has control. And there's a big difference. You know, you don't need to be prosperous to get everybody under your thumb. Because heck do you care whether somebody lives or dies a certain way, as long as you and your kind, or you and your ruling class, your highbrow, you know, we have arrived because we're smarter than you type of people when they're running the world, and they think that they're all going to be taken care of.
We have several callers that call into this show that talk socialism, but they've never lived under it. I know people that have lived under
it. Right.
And they don't understand. They think that everybody gets everything under socialism. It doesn't work like that. You have an elite class in socialism, and the elite class is who gets the stuff, and everybody else gets to stand in line 4 hours for a gallon of milk.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a gallon of milk to be had.
If there's one left, that's right.
And people don't understand it. I mean, I got a friend that immigrated here from Romania, and the stories he tells about living in Romania as a boy are just insane. You know, his parents did not get a refrigerator until 1973.
Right.
But yet the commissar, the party guy, the party official in town, he had one forever. You know, people take so much for granted in this country. You know, you tell me in Romania, you save up your money to buy a car. You pay for the car up front, and then you wait 5 years on it.
Is that something? No, they don't get it. They don't get it. And I'm gonna answer somebody out of the chat room a little bit because you made a statement to me that religion is one reason why the party is dying and won't do it. You know what, Coffee? I'm gonna tell you this: the evangelicals, because Romney was a Mormon, did not vote once again, but. I don't think the Republicans are going to make that mistake again. I do believe they're going to try to pull more toward being liberal because they're stupid and don't know what they're doing. And I'm going to tell them one thing. You blew it already when you did not defend the good things that George Bush did do. You let him be labeled a racist. You let him be labeled a dummy. You let him be labeled all the things you allowed him to be labeled. And he was not those things. And guess what? You're losing. And if you continue to do that, you're going to lose again. You need to stand up for what your principles really are and quit this foolishness of trying to get somebody in the middle and we'll get all those votes. No, you're not. You see, you're not going to get the votes. And they probably got the system fixed anyway, because when they can load people onto vans and buses, take them to the poll for people that don't even know what the hell they're voting for or why they're voting. They're just voting because somebody told them to go. And if you don't, they're going to put y'all all back in chains. And if you're that ignorant to believe those things and then go vote because somebody told you and came and picked your behind up, I don't think you need to vote. That's my own personal opinion.
Well, we have to have an educated electorate for the Republic to work properly. The founders said that.
It sure did.
We're dumbing people down every day. You know, we dumb them down about economics. We dumb them down about their votes. We dumb them down about everything. Because, you know what? It's real easy to control ignorant people.
Mm-hmm.
And the more ignorant people are, easier and easier is control. And we've already gotten to the point where we are getting going to tip over to where you've got more people taken than you do making. I mean, we spent $1 trillion,
mm-hmm.
$1 trillion last year on wealth transfer payments.
That's right.
More money on wealth transfer payments than we spent on Social Security or Medicare or the military.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't keep handing out money like that. You know, in the state parks, there's signs say don't feed the animals, you make them dependent. What makes people think human beings are any different?
Right. Well, I'm with you 1,000%. And once again, this is something that Ben talks about. They always talk about Bush being unintelligent. I'm gonna just tell you just like this. You can't fly a freaking jet plane and be unintelligent, okay? So you are an idiot if you believe that somebody that can fly a plane and land it on an aircraft carrier is stupid. He wasn't stupid. He was raised to do what he was doing. And you're going to see his brother be president as well. So now, when you have all of this, you know, that you want to talk, call in and say that stuff, and then you prove to me why you think that was the case. That's what I want. I want you to prove it. 330-781-9600, 1-347-945-5229. No, you're the idiot, because the man's not an idiot. The man, go ahead, Sticks. Mm-hmm.
UN said there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Find that report, please. And then post it to my Facebook page. But, there was no doubt about that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We gave it to them. And so there wasn't anybody we had to go find out whether they're there. We know they were there. We gave them to them. And so we played the game because we had to go in legally. So we went to the United Nations and got 17 resolutions that Saddam Hussein totally ignored. And then we got what we got. You got to wake up, people. You just have to wake up. And that's, you're not seeing it. I know what you're saying, but you're not seeing it. But once again, we'll talk to you after these messages and the news. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We're going to be back in, Coffee, we're going to get something back in there for you as soon as we find it. But Coffee, you're ignorant. You don't know, and you open your mouth and say stuff you don't know nothing about. And that's the mark of a fool. It says that a fool opens his mouth and speaks before the end of a matter. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back once again, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We don't know what's wrong with the microphones, but we're going to find out if there's an issue. Continue to tell us. But give us a call and let us know what's on your mind, 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. And when you want to talk on that number, you hit 1, and it'll let me know that you're ready to talk, and we'll bring you into the queue. But you know what? Like I said, rehashing all of this stuff is not going to matter. It's not going to matter now that, you know, we're pulling away from the Middle East. Pakistan is totally, out of whack now because we're not there to stabilize that. What is that? That might be me, huh? Yeah. So anyway.
Listen, we really need to get energy independence because we would take so much of power away from the Middle East if we could just flood the world market with oil and natural gas from the United States of America. I mean, we could break those countries in a matter of months. If the U.S. could produce enough oil to drive the price of crude down to about $30 a barrel, you would just destroy the economy of the people that don't like us so much. And we need to do that. We really need to do that.
Well, we do need to do that, but that's not going to be the object of the game at all, and which is stupid. If we don't hear in the next 2 weeks that the pipeline is going to go in, then this would be the dumbest president of all time. Okay. And you're not going to hear that.
Well, we have so much natural gas. I mean, why don't we run our cars on natural gas instead of oil?
It's cleaner.
It's way cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got so much of it. Right now, without tax, if you're compressing natural gas, Columbia Gas is spending 50 cents a gallon.
Right.
Can you imagine how much grow the economy if people could go back to 50 cents a gallon to run their cars back and forth to work? Look at the disposable income. I think every penny gasoline goes up takes $1 billion out of the economy. I'm not, it's a figure that I've heard before. So just think, if you could drop it from 380 a gallon down to 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
50 cents.
Yeah. The economy would roar back, just like if you throw gasoline on your charcoal grill.
Yep.
Okay, it's gonna oof.
Yep.
That's how the economy would come back, because the opportunity to create like America does would be there. That's what we do. We create things. We make things happen. We don't sit. We're the ones that have the imaginations. Even China steals off of us. They don't do it on their own because they don't have any money to do it on their own because their people aren't free. They don't think like we do.
Well, that's right. You take the freedom away from a person, and they forget how to think. They forget how to create. They forget how to innovate. And I'm worried for my country because this is the country where people got on ships in Europe, leaky old boats, and came over here for a better opportunity. We loaded our families on covered wagons and went west. And yet now we're crying and whining and want the government to pay for everything for us. Look at what we've become. I mean, it's sad what the nation is becoming when we want somebody else to provide for us for all of our needs. We are the people who got in a covered wagon. Where is that spirit in the United States today?
Right. You're not allowed to have it, Sticks. You're not allowed to have it. You're sitting there where you really want to start your business or grow your business, and now the healthcare costs alone are going to add tons of taxes to you where it's not even going to be worth the while of many businesses to stay in business. So once again, you've done the same thing that somebody like a Cuba has done, where you have people that are trying to do some things, but you throw all the rich people out, or you castigate them or try to take their money so that the government has money to enlarge itself. Government doesn't need to enlarge itself, except the military. Make sure your military can whip anybody's in the world. That's what you got to worry about.
That's one of the few things that the Constitution does say about the rest of this stuff.
Right. No. 334-557, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on? It's Alabama.
334.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
I can't get him up. 334-557, you are on the air. Talk to me.
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
I don't know why that. Well, we won't worry about them. We'll bring them back in. Or do I need to put... Okay, 334? Okay. Anyway, we'll find out what's going on there. I think that we just had a problem with the board there. So anyway, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, we're back. I can't start talking about what I'm saying in the chat room because sometimes the chat room has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. But let me see if I can get him to come back up. 334, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now.
This is Alabama.
Hey, Alabama, what's up with you?
Yeah, and you guys are probably not going to believe me, but Thursday I went into work, and I got a 30-day notice. I went talked to my boss, and he was just telling me, you know, that they're cutting back. The consulting firm, you know, have a lot of employees in the state and local federal government, and they're saying that they're going to have to cut back because they don't know what's coming down the pipe. And so they have a lot of lawyers on. I mean, this is what he told me. He said, but he did say they're going to give me a severance package. I mean, he's real nice about it, but, you know, I'm just, you know, I went out and did my part to try to stop this from happening, so to speak, in a roundabout way. But, I mean, it's kind of crazy. And it's disheartening when I look and see in Cleveland, he wins 99% of 100% of certain districts. It's just ridiculous. When you got seven choices, everybody, you can't get 100%. I mean, I'm in Montgomery, one of the bluest counties in the nation, Montgomery, Alabama. He didn't win 100% of Montgomery County. And we're on the top of the census list. It's like one of the top 10 most densely black populated cities in the counties in the nation. I don't know what to say, man. I mean, it's kind of, to me, I kind of initially thought he cheated to win. I did. But, you know, there are people, a lot of people, conservatives, don't want to entertain that. But I think it's been some major cheating, and I kind of, what upsets me is to see guys like Mitt Romney just, okay, well, we lost. I'm sorry. I don't give nothing up in my life easy. I fight for everything I get. And to see this happening, and to see, I'm talking, I heard he won 99% of almost, what, I don't know how many counties up there. That's ridiculous. Not just in Cleveland. I'm talking about in Ohio.
Well, they won almost 99% counties.
How many counties?
There's 88 counties, and he won.
88 counties, he won 99% of the vote? Come on.
You know, down in Florida, Alan West is complaining that in one county, they had 20% more votes than there are people in the county.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's getting to the point now. It's like it's time to strap on guns and just start fortifying. And just breaking away from, because it's getting that crazy. But it's like the media, they're complete, they're with it. So it's kind of like, look, people need to start really looking at this. Like, this is, it's getting crazy. I know, you know, the calm before the storm, but I just feel like people need to start really looking at, if they're going to cheat like that, then it's nothing we can do. I mean, right. We're not going to, and the people that are in charge aren't willing to fight, aren't willing to, and then he makes dumb decisions like Paul Ryan for his VP. Even if he did lose, people are voting on racial lines. Go get a Marco Rubio, Alan Keyes type vice president, somebody that people can kind of break into that because then it would have forced the media to start really calling. They would have called Alan Keyes Sambo. They would have really went in on him as a black man, and it would have upset a lot of black people.
Well, maybe.
They
got to
start thinking like that, because this is all about hate right now. People are voting for hate reasons now, and so it's not about getting jobs. It's not. It's about sticking it to rich white people.
That's the whole thing that they think they're doing. And one thing that I'll say again, it doesn't work. Rich white people will take their money and go home, wherever that is.
Not just rich white people. Every time in tax season, every black person I know, they're trying to claim as many children as they can. I know a bunch of Hispanics that come over here. I know Hispanics that I personally know that lie and say they got 6 and 7 kids living with them that don't. They live in Mexico. They're getting $15,000 and $20,000 tax returns from our government. They do this all the time. This is something I saw myself, so I know it's true. So that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody riding it, man. It's time to get really, like, we got to start thinking, like, abstract now. We can't just think America, because it's too many people, psychs, you know, leeching all. We got to think another way now. I mean, we're moving out the country, because I think after I get, next month, I might move out the country. I got a place I go all the time. I might go over there and really stay for a while and look and see what I can do, because I don't know if I can stay in a situation like this, and I'm going to just sit and get my popcorn and watch it go down, because it's going.
Depending upon our dollar, you're okay. You might be okay, but you have to understand that if United States monetary system crashes, it's going to be a big mess.
Think about it this way. You had people calling your show. I didn't really listen, but the day of the election, people were calling your show and say they don't like Mitt Romney's monetary policies. Barack Obama has proposed $1.5 billion, $140 billion for if he raises taxes. That's all it's going to really produce. And you got a $1 trillion deficit. Like, where's the other $850 billion? It's going to have to tax. He's going to have to get everybody's money. People, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'll suffer. You know, but if I can sit and see the look in people's faces when everything just comes down and they see this thing. They say this guy's writing, 70 different regulations a day?
Yeah.
And they're coming down on Papa John's and coming down on Applebee's and saying, look, we can't afford this. And people are calling them selfish. Where's – I've lost hope. I really have. I said this years ago.
No, don't lose hope, my brother. And I'll tell you that. Do not lose hope, because there is hope that be had, because understand, there's still a remnant of people in this country that serve God, and God is not going to let the whole thing go because of that. If he was willing to save a wicked, dastardly wicked city, and if we believe those stories, that is, I believe them, if he was willing to save those cities, he's going to spare the city for the sake of many. But
well, let me ask you this. Now, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying, right? But let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. After Christ came, the Holy Spirit came, day of Pentecost, all of the disciples were killed except John, who died in the exile. Disciples, Christians were lit, used to light Nero's garden at night as like a flame. They threw Christians in the. What makes you think that can't? And I know that sounds really crazy today, but I'm telling you, when you start using the word hate speech for anybody that says the Bible says this is a sin, and now you say that that's hate speech, and I the Southern Poverty Law Center offered me a job, and I didn't want to work there when I looked at the list of companies, people that they said were hate groups. Were just normal churches that were saying they believe in defending the family. And we're heading in that direction. So it's kind of like, to me, we can be allowed to be absorbed in that, in this country, and go down together with them. I ain't think it's just it ain't guaranteed that we're going to just, you know what, he's going to always, no, people can see Christians have died in the past and they'll die today. I don't see it changing like that. It can still happen.
There's one book that has been absolutely accurate on world affairs ever since the beginning. That's been the Bible. Absolutely accurate. And those that say there is no God, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Let them believe what they want to believe. But the thing is we're going to look at those things come to pass. I told you, just watch for 30 days. 267, I'm going to tell you to come up right after this break, because we're going to go pay some bills here, and we'll be right back.
Risen sharply over the past few years,
and now some of the largest metro areas in the U.S. have been directly affected, including New York City. To protect yourself, start by checking for flood damage free at flood.carfax.com.
Basso adds that flooded vehicles develop numerous problems.
The mechanical, electrical, and safety systems of flooded cars all can be compromised, not to mention the health risks from mold and bacteria. Remember, before you buy, always have a mechanic inspect the vehicle, get a Carfax report, and look for the Carfax buyback guarantee.
You can find out for free if the car you're buying was once flooded. Visit flood.carfax.com. I'm Rob Dalton.
If you're a Twinkies fan, it might be time to stock up. The company that makes them is in financial trouble and threatening to close its bakeries. ABC's Karen Chase.
It could be twilight time for the Twinkie. Makers of the iconic treat, Hostess Brands, is being hobbled by a baker's union strike. Company spokesman Lance Inyon says picket lines are up at a third of all Hostess plants.
The plants are being kept open with the help of management and all the many other union members who are still at work.
But he says if the strike continues, the company cannot. Striking workers say the company is trying to impose unfair contract terms as part of its bankruptcy proceedings, including 8% wage cuts and 32% benefit reductions. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Unemployed workers who continue to identify with their former employer report higher levels of well-being even after being fired or laid off. The study finds that these unemployed people have something to cling to by having very positive associations with their former employer in the past. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
GEICO says, let's make life simpler.
What's the old saying? Oh, build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. The trouble is, a lot of mousetraps aren't any better. They're just new. At GEICO, we've been saving people money on car insurance since 1936. That's over 75 years of savings. It's simple logic, really. Why not go with the company that invented the mousetrap? Of savings, that is.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
New Airborne Hot Soothing Mix with 14 vitamins, minerals, and herbs, including vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin E, zinc, and echinacea. New Airborne Hot Soothing Mix, real immune support.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
If it comes up, it goes out. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. This is News Talk 600.
Tracy and friends, in conjunction with the local area partners, will be continuing to collect non-perishable items and new blankets at the Mahoning County Republican Headquarters, located at 621 Boardman Canfield Road, from now to November 15th. Drop off your non-perishable items from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. weekends for the victims of Sandy. For more information, please call 330-629-7006.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
And we're back once again, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends on WSOM 600 AM. That's 8 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. We have myself in air chair and Sticks across from me, holding it down over there, gathering up facts while we're talking and discussing things with you. And Sticks, just get on in, because you know I'm a little...
long-winded?
Yeah, I'm really, you know, I get a little excited here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let 267 come on, talk to me.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I voted for the president for a second term because I wanted to give a black man a chance to be a two-term president, because I don't think it will happen again in my lifetime or in the next generation's lifetime. So I wanted to give a black man that opportunity. But I do think we're living in a very dangerous time with him in office, because as James Manning, he's a pastor who gives internet sermons over the internet. And he admits that the black man is at the bottom of the social register of the world. And I think in the upper echelons of power in a lot of these foreign countries, Obama is not respected. So as a result, I think we're very close to a world war breaking out. And if we go over this fiscal cliff, I think we could be looking at hyperinflation like you saw in the country of Argentina, where the inflation became so great that people couldn't even buy a loaf of bread. They couldn't buy a gallon of gasoline because it cost too much money. And there were long lines at the supermarket, long lines at the gasoline station, and the country almost collapsed. And this minister is predicting that this will happen sometime in the summer of next year, that you'll start to see gasoline go back up to $10 a gallon. You'll start to see bread go up to like $15 a loaf, and that panic will break out in these cities. So what he's recommending is that you conserve what you buy at the supermarket. You don't waste any money. And you try to save as much food as you can, and you demand that your family eat all of the food that you have in your kitchen, don't throw any food away. And that if you need to get out of the city, you find a safe location in case martial law is declared in the city because of the hyperinflation, that's automatically going to lead to chaos.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't print $40 billion a month for very long until you just water the currency down to where the currency is worth nothing. People don't understand that they don't have any money. Unless you've got gold or silver, coinage, you do not have any money.
Right.
All you have is currency. In fact, your currency isn't even backed by the government. If you look at a dollar bill, it says Federal Reserve note.
Mm-hmm.
So you
yeah,
got,
but Six, you're talking about this and everything. That has nothing to do with
on.
Obama.
Stanley!
Yes, how are you, Jeff?
How are you,
Stanley?
You're talking about something that happened in the 1960s when Nixon decided to do that.
No.
Nixon decided to do that. It was basically the currency that we have was the currency with gold. We had something. The money that we had was like with the currency of gold. And Nixon decided to take us up
no.
the currency of gold. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
FDR. No, FDR took the United States off the gold standard. What we had going off, what we had after the Second World War was called Bretton Woods II, where the United States of America agreed, made an agreement with the rest of the world that we would be the world's reserve currency, but we would never print more dollars than would make the price of gold more than $35 an ounce. We would only keep that many dollars in circulation. What Nixon did was Nixon defaulted on Bretton Woods II, and he said, you know what, we're just going to print all the dollars we feel like printing, and the rest of the world can go fly a kite. But they have not had enough dollars. Actually, we haven't had money backed 100% by gold since before the Federal Reserve was created.
And that's why we have inflation, and that's why the things that you buy in the 1960s and everything, when you come back in 2012, is more expensive because we have never nothing to protect it, like you said, gold and everything. But that has nothing to do with Obama. That was a long time ago.
No, but
he's putting it on steroids. You can't print $40 billion a month out of thin air without watering the currency down. It's a supply and demand thing. You've got to stop printing money out of thin air.
But did you hear what Obama said also after his election? He said we need to deal with what we have before we have the fiscal cliff on January. That's the first thing he did. Didn't you hear that Tracy put it on?
Yeah, he wants to raise taxes. Which is further going to drive the economy down.
He's going to sit down with the Republicans to find out.
He ain't going to sit down with nobody.
Go ahead.
Well, what in his past makes you think he's going to sit down and talk to anybody? He looked at John McCain and said, John, I won.
Because Republicans for the last 4 years were like, we want him to be one-term president. We don't care what he has.
And you don't think if John McCain would have gotten elected, the Democrats wouldn't have wanted him to be a one-term president?
Are we talking about John McCain? I don't know what would have happened with John McCain.
Family.
Things that we don't even know. Democrat would have reacted with John.
I do.
I just know that the Republicans, that's how they reacted with Obama. So let's not put up
Stanley. Stanley.
Do you think they wanted George Bush to be a two-term president? The Democrats?
I think that a lot of people were disappointed that George Bush was a two-term president and everything. But
vice versa.
I've never heard a Democrat say we want him to be a one-term deal.
Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did.
No,
oh, yes, you did. Come on. Stanley, stop it. Just stop it. That George Bush got justice.
We don't care what he has to bring. We don't care about his idea. We're going to block everything. I heard that from every conservative. This is
no,
the
you
end
didn't.
Of the country.
That's, no,
the,
you didn't.
Of, I
no, you, Stanley.
Yes.
No,
this is
you.
The end of the world. That's what you said many times. Many shows that.
Who said
this? The end of the world.
Who said this?
You did.
No, I didn't.
I did not tell you any such thing.
I don't believe that it's the end of the world because the Bible doesn't tell me that. The end of the world is a long time off. Okay, you gotta have 1,000 years of peace reigning on earth before the end of the world can come, as far as what I believe. So I didn't tell you it was gonna be the end of any world. So if somebody told you that, I don't know where you got that.
A lot of conservatives are very disappointed since Obama became secretary. They all think it's...
They should be disappointed because you know what? They're going to have to go through hell for four more years.
Stanley.
Let me tell you something, Jeff. If Romney would have won, the half of the other country would have been disappointed also. And you would have the same shit also. Oh, it's the end of the world because Romney's in power. So,
let's just, hey Stanley, let's just look at President Obama's track record. Are you paying more for gasoline now than you were 4 years ago?
Yes.
Are you paying more for groceries now than you were 4 years ago?
We are also. We have unemployment.
So you're paying more for food and you're paying more for gasoline.
Great Depression. Are you telling me that what happened in 2008 was so normal and everything it almost bankrupted the rest of the world?
What almost bankrupted the rest of the world? What almost bankrupted the rest of the world?
Were you listening when we had the guy on that was talking about economic terrorism?
Yes.
Okay.
Tracy, he was a great guy. Did you listen to the guy when he was talking about CODs, what happened with the bank also? He said that about that.
Will you take it off a speaker so we can hear what you're saying?
I said, did you listen to the guy when he was talking about CODs and explain what the bank were doing? He was explaining that also.
Right. But...
So, that wasn't just.
It was a managed takedown of our economy, and it had nothing to do with George Bush.
I never said it had anything to do with George Bush. It had to do with the bank that basically wanted to make profit over the over mortgages of people that couldn't pay their mortgage and couldn't.
Hey, Stanley, now think about what you're saying here. Would you loan money to somebody you knew wasn't going to pay you back?
No.
So why do you think the banks were loaning money to people that they knew wouldn't pay them back? How are you going to make
any
money if you don't get paid back?
Basically, they put the mortgage together and they invented a thing called COD, like I said. And basically, they went to sell it to investments so they could make profit off of it. And to cover their eyes, they had insurance that would cover them in case they didn't pay that bill.
Right. And who provided that insurance?
Yeah, the insurance was basically the company they were supposed to protect us.
Fannie and Freddie. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the reason those bad loans were written was because everybody knew that in the end the federal government would back up all those loans. Without Fannie and Freddie, that 2008 probably never would have happened.
Well, it's more than Fannie. It's also the thing that the bank had that regulation that Clinton basically took out and said, oh, you're able to do those things.
The mark-to-market, no doubt about it.
That didn't help. So that opened the whole door about banks. Yeah, okay.
Right. They repealed Glass-Steagall, which allowed investment banks to merge with commercial banks. Absolutely. That and I think that needs to be reinstated. But this Dodd-Frank bill is even worse, and it's causing total chaos in the small banking industry. And you're going to see hundreds and hundreds of small banks go belly up because of it. And also another thing was mark-to-market, which was in
Clinton's administration.
Yeah, but it was after Enron. I can't remember the name of the legislation.
Oh.
It's another insane thing, because under mark-to-market, if your neighbor sells his house for $10,000 less than he did, the bank calls you up the next day and says you got to come up with the $10,000 to cover the difference, even if you're making your payments, and that's insane.
Hello.
Yeah, hold on. 269, you are on the air.
Yeah, hey, a couple things. This, I think Stick said, what did he say, the dollar ain't worth nothing?
Right.
Okay. Well, then why won't the – and then Jeff said all the rich people going to take their money and run. Well, if it ain't worth nothing, won't they just give it to the government?
You have to understand. You know, what you're saying is – the dollar is not worth a dime here. If it's exchanged out, and these people are heavily invested in other currencies, in other silver, gold, platinum, et cetera, other precious metals, et cetera, et cetera. You better believe it, my friend, that they're not going to sit by and let somebody just take that from them.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, if all the rest of the money they got says it ain't worth nothing, just go ahead and pay the high tax.
They don't have dollar bills sitting in banks. You have to understand.
They have hard assets.
Exactly. They have things that are worth money.
They have income-producing assets that they can move all over the world.
Well, they can't
they
pay them
gold.
In taxes no way then, right?
They have gold.
You don't pay
have
hard assets in taxes.
They have, who's saying they have gold?
Wait a minute. You don't pay hard assets in taxes.
Oh, yes, you do. You still have to pay for a hard asset.
No, I think you don't pay taxes in hard assets.
No, you convert
hard assets into cash and then pay your taxes.
Then pay your taxes.
They don't convert. It's time for them to pay taxes, they'll convert their hard assets back into dollar bills and pay taxes.
Yes,
exactly.
That's how it works.
Okay. Well, there you go then. So if the dollar ain't worth nothing anyway, when they convert it back over, hell, what have they lost?
Nothing. That's what we're trying to tell you.
They've lost their hard assets.
Oh,
you have a president talking about we got to tax the rich some more. Because they need to fair their fair share. And I hate when he says fair share. They pay more than their fair share, but that's okay.
Well,
but the thing is,
the system going down. Who cares?
Yeah, it's going down because they're making it go down, and you got a guy that's insistent that it goes down quicker than it needs to.
Yeah. Now, on the Dodd-Frank thing, I did some little research on that.
Okay, you're gonna have to wait till we get to the other side because we're about to take a couple breaks. You got 20 seconds, and I know you can't get it out that quick, Michigan man.
No, all right.
I'm gonna be like Tracy when you come back. I ain't gonna let you talk.
Hey, if you don't figure out how to work them buttons, ain't nobody gonna be talking.
I got it. Afternoon with Tracy and fans. I knew how it just kind of flipped me today. Be right back.
Are you satisfied with your?
And yeah, I'm sick of tired of hearing Republicans say, oh, don't tax the rich and everything because they'll create job and they'll have – you put less tax to them and they'll be okay.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
That's a bunch of crap. I've been I'm about to find somebody who – I've been researching this Dodd-Frank thing, the Dodd-Frank law, because I kept hearing, hold, the small banks is going to go belly up. So I did some research to see who was actually saying that because it's really just a talking point. And the best I could find in there was they were saying that because of the regulations that small banks would have to do a little bit more of staffing, right? Bringing on a couple of more staff persons. But past that, the idea that the little banks are going to go belly up, I haven't found which parts of the Dodd-Frank that actually makes that a true statement. So I'm going to see if Jeff and Sticks know which part. Which particular part of the Dodd-Frank's law will make the small banks go belly up? Unless somebody's on the line knows it.
Six.
Well, the main thing is with the banks are insured through FDIC, through the federal government, up to $250,000 per bank account. So the federal government will insure bank deposits up to a certain amount of money. And what happened with the economic collapse is the banks were allowed to write mortgages on risky clients, and then through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they were two agencies that were set up by the government to back these bad mortgages. So the government essentially went in and told the banks, look, write a mortgage on anybody. We don't want any income verification. The person can have a low credit score, and they'll be able to get into a very high-priced property. They'll be able to buy it.
Hold on, man. Can I just stop right there? I think all of what you said was making sense until you said, Freddie Mae or Freddie Mac. Now, I haven't seen any of that where you said they, just because they backed the loans, that's one thing, which they did do. But you just said they told them, hey, don't check credit scores. Now, man, y'all got to cut it out, man, with the lying and
well,
stuff.
Well, that's essentially what happened.
No.
That's
just because,
what happened,
wait a minute. That's what they in the business of backing those loans. But to say that the government told them, don't check credit scores, don't. Where's the document or the memorandum
that's
of understanding that you can show me
happened,
that?
That's what happened,
though.
Yeah,
I ain't saying it ain't what happened. I ain't saying they didn't check credit scores. You said Freddie Mae told them don't check them.
The government never said that. It's the bank.
Yeah, where's the document at, man, where they told them that?
Make money, and
the
we don't
government told the banking institutions to not check.
Where did you? Where's that document at? Where's the document at?
To not use. Well, if you want to look it up for yourself, you can research what caused the housing crisis over the internet.
Yeah, I've done
to find
that.
Out how,
I've read that.
I've done that.
To
I've
find out
that.
How all these defaults happened all at once.
Yeah. Okay.
And the reason why they happened all at once is because there was no income verification that was going on at the time people were making application to buy homes.
Yeah, but who was doing that? The bank were doing that. They didn't knew it. That's why they protected.
And the banks were doing that because they were told by the federal government that they were back
to do with that.
The price of the home.
The bank
so that if the person defaulted, the federal government was going to pay for it.
Yeah, that's the part I'm asking you to help me verify, where the federal government told them, do not verify income and don't worry about the credit scores. That's the part I want you to help me find.
The government never said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's why Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were set up to back these mortgages. These government-backed mortgages.
Right, I know that, so don't mix that with what your statement you're running from that part. I know that's why they were set up to back mortgages, but that don't mean they told them don't check credit scores and don't verify
that
income.
That was part of the criteria is they did not do an extensive income verification. That was the purpose of Clinton signing into law the Reinvestment Act.
Act has been in place.
No, but they implemented that under Clinton. They implemented the Reinvestment Act to allow everyone to buy homes, to give everyone the opportunity to be able to buy a home.
No, the Community Reinvestment Act came about because there was redlining, meaning the banks in those communities, when they did the study, they found applicants that had the same credit scores, the same income verifications as whites, and they were lending to whites more than black. That's why they set it up, because they were redlining.
Yeah, right. But regardless of you know, not using race as a factor to for the approval of a mortgage loan, they also were being very lax on the income requirement.
Hey, man. Hey, you all are back.
Boy.
You don't want to, okay, you know what? We should not let Michigan Man talk, because he said, oh, boy, as soon as we come in.
I don't know if I'm saying that because of how he answered or y'all back on the line. I don't know which one. We'll see in a minute.
We'll see. So talk to me. You tell me what.
You said you looked into Dodd-Frank. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Now, I did. And so I was wondering if you guys, and I'm not saying that it's not there, but the best research that I could find, and this was the lobbyists on behalf of the small banks and their rationale behind their statements for saying that under Dodd-Frank, small banks would go belly up, right? That's the talking points. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So the best I could find in their reasoning for saying that was that more regulations causes them to have to staff up. You know, that was the only one that I saw. So I was looking for something other than that, because what the document said is that each bank may have to staff up with a couple of more people just because of the more regulations.
Well, I can tell you what my personal small banking, what the local branch manager told me about Dodd-Frank.
Okay.
And what he told me about Dodd-Frank, how it's going to hurt small banks is, In the law, it says that a bank can only have a certain percentage of their loans, of their loan portfolio, in each different category, which means if I've got people that want to buy houses, I can't take money out of my car loan allotment to loan to people to buy houses, because I'm only allowed to have a certain percentage of my loan portfolio in say, home mortgage loans.
Okay.
So it's taken away the flexibility of the small local bank to operate the way small local banks used to. I mean, my dad used to be able to walk into the bank and on a handshake get $25,000-$30,000.
Okay, so
and
basically
you can't do that anymore.
No, well, that's two separate things. But basically, let me make sure I'm hearing you clearly. The Now, say if a local bank may have had 60% of their assets in mortgage loans, now with the Dodd-Frank, let's say that there's five different basic products that they have to have balanced loans across all of the products.
That's what my branch manager is telling me. Yes.
And he's saying because of that, meaning is there one of their products they can get a higher percentage rate, or more people may need that product than the other product? I guess it, to some degree that would make a little bit of sense if that's the case. You know, I would imagine that the products, what they were making off the products, probably, I don't know. Do you know what the breakdown is? How much business?
No, I don't. I don't know what the specific breakdown is, but I do know that it's almost impossible to borrow money for rental real estate.
Yeah, I do know that. Yeah, that's true.
And what's kind of insane about that is, you take a guy like me, I can go buy a $50,000 pickup truck tomorrow morning, but I can't borrow $25,000 to buy a rental house.
Well, that's true, too, because I've been trying to borrow some against some of my rentals. I've got that down.
Right. They're going to turn you down. But see, do you understand why this is happening?
Well, but now this is where we're going to disagree. But go ahead. You tell me why they turn.
They're squeezing the little guys out.
No.
And as soon as they go, listen to me.
No,
the big, can I finish? I'm not done. Stanley, I am not done. I'm not going for that like Tracy did that. No, I ain't going for it. Now, I'm going to tell you, they're squeezing the little guys out of business. They cannot stand up under this. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to get swallowed up by all the big guys, and all you're going to do is have all of these big, huge banks in America that are not going to be personal with you anymore and give you a home loan and give you a car loan if you got one or two bad things on your credit because they know you've been in the community for 100 years where nobody can talk to you. And then they are going to treat you like a redheaded stepchild.
Now, can I say something, Jeff?
Yes,
sir. But I think this is where, and I've said this before, where the continuously – I think the role of government should play is this continual, promoting, right, competition in sectors by incentivizing, you know, people to organize themselves. Now, in the Recovery Act, right, a lot of what people didn't see, if you go look in the economic piece, the incentives for communities to set up CDIFs, community development financial institutions,
right,
and corporations. Now, those are excellent ideas, but people just don't know about it. Incentivizing local communities to set up more credit unions, which some of them are doing now. I think that is the balance to, you know, say the big guy wanting to take his ball and go home, is the continuous organization of people at the grassroots level to take more control of their local economics. So now, but you don't ever hear about that. But that's in that bill.
But the thing is they can't get the money to put into those organizations to do it.
That's where people bring their personal monies and their organizational monies, like churches and things of that nature, and their savings and stuff, and pool that money together to start those institutions, and then the government would match and give certain tax breaks and things of that nature. But you don't ever hear people talking about that side of the Recovery Act.
Once again, Michigan man, do you understand what's happening? Because you wouldn't have said that if you had understood what is happening.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter. What you just said, that's one side of the Recovery Act, because that's not the main side of the act. The one side that is causing the problems in this economy is you can't get the little people to be able to do anything. They can't expand businesses. They can't do anything unless they have a number one credit rating, and much to the chagrin of whoever stupid in the talk room said that Bush almost destroyed the world economy. The world economy had a slowdown, which caused your housing market to show up and fall for what it was. That's what happened. It wasn't vice versa. It was the stupid laws and rules that Bush administration tried to get investigated for years. And they were told, you just want to stop Franklin Raines, that black man, from running things. And this, that. And they put the racism thing on him, and the administration backed off. I wish to God they wouldn't have backed off, because it would not be like this. But this is a plan. This is what they want to do. Go ahead.
One thing, Jeff, and the other call, I think it's Philadelphia, one thing we can go and find out for sure, if we're saying this idea that, hey, now the small businessman can't get any money, he's got to have A1 credit. One thing we can find out for sure, there's a history of lending, and it's documented. So we can trace back the last 15, 20 years to see this trend of when banks were requiring higher credit scores and things of that nature. And I promise you, this didn't just start.
No, I guarantee you that it didn't, because you have two groups of people, and the progressives of the world want to destroy America. Unfortunately, your president is a progressive. He's of the radical leftist people, like the people that he hung out with in college, that he told you that's what he did. But nobody wanted to believe that or read it for themselves. They wouldn't read the books. I told people, read his books, please.
I read his book and everything. He's not there to destroy the America.
Stanley. Stanley, he gives you. Stanley, stop. He gives you steps, 10 freaking steps in his book, how to take down the nation. So how are you going to say he doesn't want to do it? Don't bring that stupidity here. go to another talk show and talk. If you're not going to be real about what he's got in the doggone book, he gives you a 10-step plan.
Yes, but if you're not going to be you want to be real with that? If you're not going to be real about Republicans that basically had stupid war, did stupid things with many things, George Bush is not the best of the world and everything.
Did nobody say he was?
Like
George
that,
Bush did a lot of things I disagree
like
with, Stanley.
Are the people that wanted to bring our country down, too.
George Bush,
I'm going to be real with you like that. So don't even think that our president is trying to do our best to bring this country down.
Oh, he's doing his best to bring it down. And I'll tell you why.
He's a globalist, Stanley. He's a globalist, and he believes in one world governance run by the UN.
By the UN. Now,
what about this, though, now? You got to consider, I think where Stanley makes a good point about this, Jeff, is that corporatocracy, really, it has no use for governance either. It wants to be the governing force. So,
absolutely.
Course, all right, so you agree with? Okay, so corporatocracy don't really give a damn about the United States either, right?
No. But the thing is if you go ahead, Stick.
Well, you've got big corporations like General Electric that are in bed with the government. I mean, this has been going on for over 100 years. The Rockefellers started this. And the whole thing is basically to create a fascist-type economy where you've got a very few huge corporations, and the government and the corporations are in bed together. And that is what the president wants, because it's very simple. He does not want small business. He does not want competition from small business.
Sticks.
Yes, he does.
Let's define in bed with the – here's what in bed with the government means. There are 45 million. Is it 45 billion just in the last year? A lobbyist spent 6 to 1, 6 attorneys to 1 representative, writing the law, feeding them steaks and taking them out and giving them vacations and stuff. So the in bed with the government is simply corporate dollars used to lobby representatives to make sure that certain laws are passed.
Who is the president's jobs are?
Hold on, Stick. Now, that has nothing to do with Obama.
Why?
The number of lobbyists and the money spent by corporations to lobby representatives has nothing to do with Obama.
Who is the president's jobs are?
Oh, boy.
Who is he? What's his name?
I don't even know.
Jeffrey Immelt.
Okay.
What does Jeffrey Immelt run? General Electric.
General Electric, yeah.
And how many jobs did General Electric just send overseas?
I'm not sure, but it's probably India and China because they need engineers.
It doesn't matter. How many jobs did he just send overseas?
I don't know the exact number.
35 freaking thousand. That's how many, okay?
Okay, but now let me ask you this. Go and look at the lobbyist firms and see how many of them, who are funding the lobbyist firms. Are you saying that those are all Democrats?
No, I'm trying to tell you it doesn't matter. I'm talking, well, you have a president that just came in office saying that he's not going to have any lobbyists have anything to do with his administration, this, that, and other. And he hires 12 of them.
Well, you know they all lie about that.
No. They all don't lie about that because you didn't hear nobody else saying they weren't going to use them.
Well.
You didn't have nobody else saying that. Now, here this man comes in, the most transparent nigga, and then he hires 12 of them, and then the jobs are who's in charge of creating jobs in America that hasn't done a doggone thing for America is sitting there and puts 35,000 jobs overseas.
Ain't nobody asking
Obama to fire his behind.
What you don't understand is every government regulation hurts small business. And here's an example. Say they pass a regulation that says that you have to have a certain kind of conveyor belt in your soda pop manufacturing plant. A company like Pepsi-Cola can put a half a penny on a can of pop, and it's not going to phase them. But if you're a small little local bottler, you got to put 25 cents on yours to cover the cost of that. So people are going to buy Pepsi instead of your product because your product costs more than theirs because the regulation, you had to eat it. That's how regulation hurts small business.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, you got the alternative, but like we said, you the free market. So this is the schizophrenia. This is the schizophrenia of free market, though.
No, it's corporate, not.
Wait a minute. At the corporate level, they'll tell you no corporation wants a free market. They want closed markets so they can control them.
The big companies, you're right. The big companies don't want competition. I agree with you.
So who is this, you know, we want free markets. Who wants free markets?
That's
who can't get in the market.
But it's the job of a just and honest civil government to make sure that the playing field is level for all comers.
Well,
get
rid of all your
representatives. No, they make regulations constantly that favor big companies. For example, somebody brought up Famous Amos cookies the other day. You realize that man couldn't get started in New York City today because Bloomberg would not allow it?
But the government are not writing the regulations. The lobbyists are writing the legislation.
No. But somebody's approving
it's the
them.
The lobbyists that are trying to develop monopolies among
are writing the regulations. Right.
But the government doesn't have to pass them.
I can submit all
the regulations I want.
Government passes them because the government receives money from the lobbyists.
From the same, that's the dichotomy.
Okay, let's put it a different way. Not the government. The government
representatives
are getting the money and the payola's
right.
in the back pocket.
Right.
Yes, you're correct, and that's what we need to shut down. But here's the problem. You do not have anybody that's going to stop this, especially when you have a guy telling you, I'm not going to have any lobbyists in my administration. And then you have lobbyists all over in his cabinet, in his administration, walking in the White House whenever they doggone well please, and everybody sitting on there voted for him just saying, not a doggone thing.
And holding meetings.
But, that's what's kicking me off right
the
now.
The lobbyists are the ones that are actually writing the laws.
But
right.
the thing is, if we held our elected officials' feet to the fire, we're the ones who send them there. And if they don't do what's in our best interest, we need to throw them out.
Well, but see, because with the health care bill, I don't think there was one representative who had actually read the bill.
No, there wasn't.
2,000 pages long.
You know what?
So the bill was put together by research firms that had lobbyists, and they were the ones that actually put the bill together, and then they sent the bill to Congress to be approved.
You know what they said? They said the best lawyer could win a case whether he was the defendant or the prosecutor, meaning he could take the same case that he could lose and try it again and win it. Okay, where did I say that? The lobbying firms hire those attorneys. What those attorneys do is take those representatives out for steak and wine and give them the spiel and the spin and the research, and we've had this research on this, and this must be done this way or this, that, and the other.
We
now,
got
them
you.
Dummies don't know no better. So when they get before the mic, they tell you they voted this way because of this research.
We understand. 497, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. This is Jay Early. How's everybody doing?
What's up, Jay?
You know, I got a question. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't been here for a couple of days, and I came back in. I said, you know what? The election's over. Let me go by and see what the new topic is. I think I'm still back 14 days ago.
Well, the corruptness of this administration didn't change because we had elections 14 days ago.
But that's not the point.
That is my point.
This is the time. You got people. The people out there, they're hurting for jobs, et cetera, and so forth. Well, you know, when are we going to get back to talking about the local, the economy, what's happening in the town? What can
they
we do to better the situation?
Get rid of President
Obama. He's going to be there for 4 years. You're not going to get rid of him.
Then you're not going to get what U.S. asked for.
Well, who asked for?
I said you're not going to just get what you just asked for.
Why?
That's what we're talking about. This is why. Because if these tax cuts aren't rolled back, the Bush tax cuts, number one, you are already one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel with your economy.
Yeah, but and America now spoken. They say we want to follow his route. So
wait a minute. Then you're going down, Jay. Then you're going down.
Locally, work there and work your way out.
Jay,
this is entertainment radio, man. He ain't. They not. This is the Republican entertainment radio.
I think Republicans.
Believe me, and you know, I always show up, Jeff, and you and I have gone back and forth. But some of the stuff I've seen on Facebook lately, since the president has become president again, has been ridiculous. I understood it, and I took it as, hey, you know, everybody's throwing dirt. It's before the election. But it's time to stop that stuff, man. It's not taking us anywhere as a country. It's holding us back as a country.
The reason why it's still happening is because the country is very divided. And I think it's
very divided. They think that it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world.
Stanley, you just jumped all over Philly. Philly, go ahead. Stanley, wait your turn, dog.
Okay, the country is very divided. If you look at the popular vote count, the president only won by like 3 million votes. And Romney got something like 57 million votes, and Obama got like 59 million votes. So the reason why you're going to see the opposition on Facebook is because the country is not together. The person we have in the White House currently should still be in the White House 4 years from now. The country is divided over that still.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that the election is over. The majority has spoken. So
yeah,
we need
even
to move
though,
forward,
even
man.
Though
we,
the
there's
election
there's
is
a lot
over,
that has to be
that
done,
mean
and we can start our own communities.
Yeah,
okay, and work our way out. And, you know, I mean, hey, you got another election coming in 2 years. Okay,
yeah.
Some changes can be made there.
And
then again, 2016, you can vote in another
also,
president that you think is going to do better.
Right, but I think the election in 2 years, the Democrats better hope they can hold on to the Senate, because I think it's a good chance that if the president does poorly over the next 2 years, the Democrats will lose the Senate. And then he will be in a complete deadlock, meaning that practically everything he puts forth is going to be shot down by the Congress and the Senate.
Well, let's wait and see what happens.
Well, but this is where Jeff's show, and I've told Jeff and Tracy this numerous times, where they – The base of their commentary is, and I understand it, is that they talk about how the black community, you know, needs to turn itself around and stop voting with one party. That's kind of a lot of their talk. And their analysis is based off the black community. But as black Republicans or black conservatives, whatever they are, they have absolutely no agenda. to give back to the black community and say, hey, instead of this, try this, other than say, quit voting in one party.
Speak for yourself, my brother. I have plenty of agenda, but that's not the point.
I ain't never heard it.
Oh, yes, you have. Oh, I have a very clear agenda. If I could call a shot, we would not be in this position like we are. We would not be on the bottom of the ladder and let these people come and more or less defecate in our face and take our vote and leave. Because that's what you're getting. All these people celebrate. We got him in. Obama back. This, that. But guess what? That neighborhood's still getting people getting shot up in their neighborhoods every
day.
That's
assessment. That's assessment. We
and
that.
I don't care nothing about assessment. It is a plan by the party you voted for.
Okay, but what's your plan?
My plan is to get in that party that you are in already and tell them there are certain things that we are not going to vote for you for again. If we don't get economic development money for the communities that we live in and have businesses, business incubators, and things that are supplied by the tax monies we pay, then we're not going to vote for you. But you ain't got nobody with enough cojones to do it.
Yeah, but you.
That's
but as
number
a black
one.
Conser-
I'm not
as a
done.
Black conservative, Jeff,
I don't
you
have
should
any
be
power.
Just saying. You should no.
I don't,
you don't need
I don't
to
have
go inside
power.
The Democratic Party. You just need to tell blacks. Come inside the conservative Republican Party because they've agreed to put up some incubators.
First of all, here's the problem. You have been convinced that Republicans hate you, and it's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell.
I don't care about
I can tell you.
I don't
want
to hear the agenda.
No, Stanley, don't say that because I'm looking at right in the doggone chat room and on my Facebook every freaking day. Somebody telling me, you know, they hate black people.
What's the agenda?
Well, let me finish it now. You cut me across and I started on something else. And Sticks, you jump in here. But here's the thing.
That's one part
of the agenda. The next one is we're going to have school choice for our children. Because even though we pour more money into our city schools than everybody else does, the unions run roughshod over our kids, and our kids aren't getting educated. We're going to change that, and we're going to keep control right down here at the local level. And you're going to give the same money back to us, and we're going to choose and renegotiate union contracts. Or we're not going to go through this again. We'll just start all over. But we'll do school choice, and we will not put up with the BS that these unions have given us over these years where they hold our kids hostage over our heads to give them more money. It's not going to happen. We don't have more money to give.
Now, let me say something, Jeff. Let me show you something, just what you just said. I agree that if Republicans took the message of school choice right down into the black community to those black pastors, start having those meetings, say, hey, we want to put you guys in control of these schools.
We did.
I guarantee you.
We did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we
no,
did.
Didn't
Don't
not.
Tell me what we did. I know. I sit on a committee with big-name pastors and churches.
Don't start
this. It was done.
When, Jeff?
It was done during the last gubernatorial race. We've done it. Okay, now don't go with this. We're ignored and we're considered that they don't really mean it.
He ain't do nothing. I'm just telling you,
this is not the point. Well, in Michigan, I don't know what they did in Michigan.
Well, we're talking about from a national perspective how the
national
Republican Party could have came into the black community with some agenda items to say, here, this is what we'd like to do inside of these communities. They could have done that.
Can I give you my last thing on my agenda? Okay, this is the last thing on my agenda. On welfare, this is what we'll do. One child, we're going to help you with. But we want the name of that father. And guess what? That father is going to take care of that child as well to the best of his ability. If he's indigent and cannot find work, guess what? Guess what he's going to do? One of the four armed forces in America. Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard. He's going to take his butt there, and he's going to take care of his child.
What?
The second.
Whoa,
the
whoa.
Wait a minute.
Let him finish.
Let me finish. Second child, we're not giving you any more money for that. Okay? Now, here's the thing. We're not going to give you any more money. We want the name of that father, though. And guess what we're going to do? He's going to get the same treatment the last father got. Only he's going to make sure he takes care of that kid totally. And if he can't do it, if he's indigent, guess what he's going to do? Air Force, Army, Navy, or Coast Guard. He's going to serve somewhere his country and pay for his child instead of destroying his country by letting a little child get raised without a daddy and turn into a hellion on the street and kill people and sell dope for a living. We're not going to keep that culture going in this country again anymore.
Let Stanley get his in.
He's been waiting a little while.
I can't believe you're going to do that. So basically, if I'm hearing you from bottom, like you're saying, you're encouraging women to basically be disharmed.
Can't hear you, Stanley.
And to bring even more kids in this world with a guy that never wanted to be a father, that told that woman, I never wanted to be a
father. Did you hear what I just said?
Wait, let me finish. You're encouraging that instead of having a law of saying to the guy, do you want to be a father? Some of that, they want to be fathers, Jeff. Some of them got tricked by a woman that decided, let me
Stanley.
Can't hear him.
Stanley, talk low because your speakerphone has a cutout and it's not doing well.
I'm saying that basically you're encouraging women to be dishonest even more. You're basically saying to men, we don't care about the right. I don't care that you didn't want to be a father. Too bad for you. You're going to pay for it even though you told that mother or that woman, I don't want to be a father. I never did. But you made the choice to keep it.
Stanley, I just told you, we're not going to put up with it anymore.
That's a weak
story. We're going to stop the way that this is happening.
Yeah,
we're
going to
stop the culture. I don't care whether it's black folks or white folks that's on welfare. We're not allowing them to have babies, and we just take care of them for the hell of it. And we got to go. Be right back.
Yeah. Anybody still here?
My
question is, how is he planning on doing that?
Well, but he, what you give him an A for? See, this is where I think the A is for effort, but what the intent is behind it, which to me, the intent behind what he was trying to say, even if it ain't flushed out, is a good intent. So
yeah,
now I think y'all all would agree with that.
Do you think that the Army is going to take a deadbeat?
I said the intent of what he's trying to do.
Well, see,
come on,
that's
now.
The whole thing is that the military does not take juvenile delinquents now.
Yeah, we understand that.
We're not talking about juvenile delinquents. Hey, I'm a grandma. I'm raising two children without child support. Okay? We are white. It's a problem.
It is.
Not just a black problem. So it's a problem for these young men.
Child.
And I'm going to tell you something. If they were in the armed forces, then mom doesn't get a welfare check. Mom gets a child support check, and that child is attached to that parent. And those two young people who decided to have a baby, and I'll tell you something. If a young man decides to, and we're off the air, so I'm going to talk blunt to you men because I believe in this.
They can hear you in the chat room.
If they knew,
you're not off
well,
the air.
Okay.
Believe me.
Well, see, but you know what? I don't have the internet, so whatever they want to say and slam me, I'll never see it. The problem that I see here is when young men decide to unzip their pants and decide to have sex with a woman, little girl, young lady, doesn't matter, someone who can be impregnated, he will think twice if he knows there's going to be a consequence.
Right.
Young lady, same thing.
Yeah.
She will have a consequence because she will be raising a baby. Not the welfare system, not the school system, not grandma.
And
you know,
that's
a very good thought.
But
our jail—they came up with jails to stop people from doing crime. People still doing crime.
Right.
Exactly.
But what happens in the jail is the jail is set up where they have private industries in the jail.
Yeah.
And
they can do that in the armed forces.
Now, And if you go to prison now, the prison is going to make money off of you. So,
let me say this. I've been around the military all my life, okay, the last 40
plus years. The military can build guns.
All right?
They can build ships. They can build houses.
Listen to me a second.
They can build things.
The military doesn't take everyone nowadays.
Well, we understand.
They used to do
it
in the 60s and 70s.
But
you got to have an A plus rating to get into the military now.
But
that'll have to change.
Here's what to me y'all ain't recognizing. And any of you brothers who've been through any rites of passage program, one of the major points of rites of passage program is reward and punishment. Reward for order and punishment for doing things out of order. So the intent behind what Jeff was saying about there does have to be consequences. You just can't run around here screwing. Now, what that consequence is, you know, can be flushed out. But it sounds like y'all almost saying there shouldn't be a consequence.
No, I didn't say that. I said that you can't, but you can't put them into the military is the only thing I said.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
That cannot be the punishment. He's thinking back to the 60s and 70s. The military doesn't take anyone.
Is that Bianchi that I hear talking? Is that
I'm
who
sorry?
You are?
No, this is Michigan.
This is Jay. Okay,
this is Jay
I had. Okay, wait.
Oh,
okay, just with now with the hurricane that just hit in the inland, they could sure use a lot of young strong men, couldn't they?
Of course.
And so if we have a Coast Guard, what Jeff was saying, and a special group. I mean, really, a special group. Make them special forces. I'm not talking about special forces with guns. I'm talking about special forces with muscles and intention and desire to work. And giving these young men who are loose on the streets right now, okay, or not staying in school, this would give them a place to be, which is that beginning structure, which prison does offer for both the juveniles and young black and white men who seem to be non-directed. The people on the phone that we're talking to right now are on air. They seem to be very directed. You guys know, and I think you agree. I have agreed with Jeff. Actually, we talked about this on another episode of the show. But it truly would change. It would turn that around. And the government wouldn't have anything to do with it. We're already paying for these babies in many different ways. And we're paying, and it's destroying our young people, and it's destroying our family units, and those have to be brought back in America. They have to be.
You know, I have watched this problem grow over the last 40 years. Okay.
Exactly.
And
you're
it's
exactly
got
right.
Into I guess we call it an epidemic.
Yes.
And sad to say, a lot of this problem comes from parenting.
Absolutely. 85% of it. Because
you know,
the young people that are having these babies do not want these children because they've never been wanted themselves, you know, because we're now into a second generation of this. And it really happened probably with my generation maybe, you know, the 70s.
Right.
Maybe so. And
right. I was raised in that make love, not war generation also.
Exactly.
Right.
And that has created these entitlement children and society, which is now, okay, example, the children that are 15 right now.
More prevalent in the minority communities.
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, my, no, I don't think so. Not where I live.
I don't think so. Yeah.
No.
Teenage pregnancy and unwed.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's necessarily.
Michigan, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
I see a lot of young ladies. I have a high school student right now, in high school currently, and the young ladies right now, between freshman and senior year, you would be absolutely shocked. We have only nine. I would say they might be, well, we have Hispanics, so I would say maybe in the high school that I'm talking about, maybe 22 children of a minority, you know, between Asian and so forth, probably 22 total
but I
in
think
the high school.
Proportionate
and
to,
many of them have had abortions.
Yeah, proportionate to our population inside of the entire country. From that perspective, you probably would see it being higher in the minority community, proportionate to what population we make up of the entire American population.
Yeah. And maybe in the city.
I think what happens
maybe
with those cages, they have abortion and they have access to abortion and contraception more than the minority community does because they have more in terms of money to deal with.
But I'm going to tell you something.
Can I throw this in real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the problem. I think the young lady that's speaking in the group, you said you had a teenage child, right?
I have two of them.
Yes. You have two teenage girls.
14 and 15. No. 14 and 15 boys. Yes.
No girls. Okay.
No girls. No.
One of the problems, and I've watched this in America for a long time.
And for the last hour of the program for the today, Monday, which is the day that we are saying Veterans Day and celebrating Veterans Day. And we salute and thank you. Yes, I am a veteran. Jeff, put the shirt back on. Okay.
Yeah, we got two veterans sitting in the chairs today.
Yes, we do. We have two veterans here on Veterans Day, myself and Sticks. You were in the Army, Sticks?
Navy.
Yeah.
You Navy, man. That's right.
Yeah.
You told me about that.
Our submarines.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man. You can send that claustrophobia thing going on.
Ah, wasn't too bad.
Yeah, but anyway, we're talking about what's on your mind. 497 just dropped out. I was going to hear some more from them. But we're talking about lots of different things, and hope you were carrying through. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. Let me announce that Valley businesses and organizations are uniting to help Hurricane Sandy victims right here. And we are going to be collecting different things to take up to New York. And we can go to drop off non-perishable food items, batteries, new blankets, hand warmers, and things like that. Somebody posted something stupid on my account here. Hold on. I was reading it off of my Facebook here, and it jumped. It jumped on me, so I'm going to have to go back up to it. But anyway, GOP headquarters, we can drop things off there in Youngstown at, I believe, it's 421. Okay, let me get it right there. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we're going to drop things off at GOP headquarters here in Boardman, Ohio, at, okay, there it is, 621 Boardman Canfield Road across from Giant Eagle, Monday through Friday from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Ambassador Technologies at 3622 Belmont Avenue, that's Liberty, right behind McDonald's up there, and that's computer guy, computer web guy in our room here. And also, Fit Family at 45 North Canfield Road in Austintown. You can drop off articles and items there. Nemitz IGA Food Stores at 655 Creed Street, Struthers, Ohio. And at the Nemitz store at 2980 McCartney Road in Lincoln Knowles Plaza in Youngstown. Henry Nemitz does a whole lot for the community. I want you guys to know that because he has done an excellent job of being a good Samaritan throughout the community in many other places. Of course, one of those evil Republicans, of course. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Evil non-union Republicans.
Evil non-union Republicans that they try to shut his stores down. Ryan's Chair on Glenwood Avenue. If you like, when you see me in public, you'd like to see my haircut and see what I've done. That's where I get it done at, is Ryan's Chair. And Charlie Staples Barbecue, 372 West Rand Avenue. And I want to also announce another one of our people coming on right now is going to be Mr. Perfume and More down on Lockwood Boulevard in Boardman, Ohio, right down there in the Mill Creek Plaza, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Mr. Perfume and More is one of the, I'm going to tell you what, I went in the store and went crazy. I was able to afford to buy perfume, and I'm talking about name brands as well as some that you've never heard of name brands, and you need to go in and check out Mr. Perfume at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard down in the Mill Creek Plaza right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. You will enjoy going in there and visiting with Mr. Perfume and picking out something, a beautiful handbag, a beautiful fragrance for you and yours this holiday season, et cetera, et cetera. So you go in there and you tell them you heard about WSOM 600 AM on Tracy and Friends, and you'll get an extra little discount. I'm not going to tell you what, but they have discounts every week, and you need to go check it out. So that's Mr. Perfume and More. Give him a shout down there and go check him out. Okay, I am talking to 330-831. Are you still on the air?
Yeah, Jeff. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Well,
was that crazy, Bonnie?
About, yes, it is me.
Yeah, I said, was that crazy?
No, you know, we've talked about your idea before on the show. And we totally agree with young men and young women being more accountable. I'm not one of those evil Republicans, and I'm not one of those Democrats either. I'm an independent, you know. So
sure,
it's okay to call me crazy. It's what they do.
Well,
but I was saying that, you know, the hurricane victims could sure use a strong young man to help them during these times. And if we had more armed forces locally, we could handle those things.
Well, here's the thing. If you didn't have so much poverty, you would be in much better shape as a country.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense that the most powerful nation in the world, which is the United States still, has this many people in poverty. And in this country, it comes because of political leanings.
Oh, Jeff, come on.
I'm telling you, 90 to 95% of poverty in the United States is self-inflicted.
I have to say that.
That's two different things. Self-inflicted or political leaning.
You won't do it if you think you're going to die if you don't make it. But when you know that government is going to be there to give you a check and a hot cot, okay, somewhere.
I think
somewhere.
They'll still be in poverty, but they just won't be getting it from the government.
Well, my point is your government is doing things that it should not be doing. It doesn't need to do all of that if you have people gainfully employed and working, if they've gotten good educations. But just like they were saying in this last election, people voted for image, number one, and they voted for programs and things, number two.
It's awful hard to throw Santa Claus out of the house.
It sure is. So I'm really aghast with this. And Michigan Man, what did you think about my three-point plan?
Well, I thought that all of them made sense. And the third one, we was talking about it off the air, and I think Bonnie made a good point. Well, we wouldn't talk because the pushback was, well, you can't just the military not going to take them.
They will.
So what Bonnie had talked about, well, we're not talking about necessarily putting guns in their hands and putting them on the front line, but some type of a side force where they could go to work. I actually think that's a good idea. The intent behind it, I think, the intent is there and it's well taken.
Well, my point is this, is that when you said no solutions, I've been crying this for the past 4 years of the six I've been on the air, and because I came up with it as a result. Who's talking in the background?
That's Philadelphia. What?
Philadelphia. I'm gonna mute his line for a while. Okay, but anyway, because we're always talking about, you know, helping the poor, and they creating more poor on purpose. So just what happened on last Tuesday happens again. You got people coming out voting, don't know what the hell they're voting for. They're going because somebody brought a bus up to their crib. God had come a month or so earlier, made them get registered to vote, and then took them out there and gave them a little yellow sheet of paper and said, just vote up and down this thing right here. And I don't know whether they were feeding them that day. I don't know what they were doing. But they went for what they could get. This was not a real election. This was a a forced hand election. This was not an election.
Well, Jeff, let me say now, to be balanced, the same buying a congressman to vote a certain way for legislation is buying.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's make sure we understand that, you know, that is done across the board in this type of setup.
I'm like this. I don't think a congressman should have more than two or three terms.
Now, I was going to ask you that. Do you believe in term limits?
In some instances, I do.
They
you know,
be in all instances.
Well, yeah, in presidential elections, of course. Senators, I believe, and I don't think they are right now. Do they have four terms? I would cut them down to three, because I'm going to tell you what. People was raising hell about people being Mormons, but guess what? Your head of the Senate is a Mormon. So I don't know what everybody had a huge issue with, because that was absolutely the case. Harry Reid is a Mormon. My goodness, 240, what you doing in the background, man? 330-240.
I think you better mute that, too.
Yeah, maybe they didn't mean to push their button, because they had pushed their button a second ago. But that's what I'm saying. You know, we've got all of this. The stuff we're saying, and it doesn't make sense. It's really kind of goofy. And I know nobody wants to hear negative Obama after Obama has won a new presidency. But guess what? I pray that I'm wrong about what his intentions are with America. I hope that I'm wrong. And I pray that this man does remarkably well in bringing the economy back and doing something about that deficit, not just borrowing money to spend to pay his pals back in the union.
But they're not borrowing money anymore, Jeff. They're not even borrowing anymore.
They're just printing it.
They're just printing it out of thin air because the Chinese and the Russians won't loan us any more money.
Right.
There is no more money to be loaned to the United States. And there's a significant number of countries in this world that are pushing to get the world off of the dollar as a standard reserve currency.
Right.
And when that happens, all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only thing that's holding this economy sorted together right now is the fact that we are the reserve currency of the world. If they decide to do something else, we are in big trouble. And the up-and-coming economies, the Indias, the Chinas, the Chilis, the Argentinas, the Brazils of the world are buying gold by the ton.
Right.
Jeff and Styx, do you think that when they get enough of the, what did you guys say, the hardcore, that's not what you guys were saying, but the stronghold of this economy, that's when they're going to pull the rug out from underneath this, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Go ahead, Philly.
I was going to say the main thing that's holding the American economy together is they don't think the Chinese can develop the infrastructure in terms of economics as America does, because currently China does not have corporations like Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Apple, Google, and the reason why they don't is because they have a state-controlled economy. And so if China ever matures and develops as a nation and becomes more of a capitalist nation, and they don't let the state dictate to the corporations and steal patents and steal, like other types of property from these corporations inside their country, then they will have real competition in the global economy and they won't be able to compete, because then China will have the economy and will also have the military, because currently China is trying to take over the South China Sea and all of the islands that are off the coast of China, and if they do that, then they'll have more territory to deal with.
Well, no doubt about it, and we know they're building their first aircraft carrier and first
ballistic missile
right.
submarines.
Yeah, ballistic missile submarines, et cetera, et cetera. And we're not looking at that, because they're going to do it, and it's going to be operational very soon. And the thing is once you get these guys starting to do that, if you're not ahead of them, they can physically march you into the sea, first of all.
Yeah, right.
They can march you into the sea, and that's what you're not realizing. Because they have so many people, it doesn't matter. And their are poor. Many of their people are poor. I shouldn't say all of their people because it's not true. But they're living very terribly in little small compartments.
Currently, China has 350 million farmers. They have more farmers than the U.S. has people.
Yeah, that's true.
But they don't have the production capacity of the United States.
No,
I mean,
but the only reason why they don't is because the state controls
Boardman
the economy.
Frame House,
if they ever allow
a professional frame shop.
Go ahead.
If they ever allow the state to leave the economy alone and they develop these industries like we have in this country, then they will be able to control the global economy.
Well, and there's another thing about China that people forget, and this is a sure recipe for war.
Right.
There's something like 5 men for every woman in that country right now. And you can't have a society where a man is not going to have a chance of having a family. And it's a sure recipe for war, and I'm tending to think it's a sure recipe for war with Russia.
Oh, I heard that. 330-240. Turn down your radio, 330-240. What did that sound like?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
That sounded like a radio room somewhere. Okay, well, 240 is gone. He hit the button again twice, and I don't know what's going on, but he can't get it together to talk. So go ahead. Go ahead, Philly.
Yeah, well, the thing is that what may happen is you may get a coalition between India has 1.2 billion people, China has over 2 billion, and then Russia and China may form a coalition in the sense that they will develop a socialist state rather than being completely controlled in terms of communist, in terms of communism. They'll allow private industry to develop, and it'll be more of a socialist type state. Then they would be able to control the whole world economy because they have more people, and they would have the advantage of using the Russian military and the Chinese military in tandem with one another, and they would definitely outdo most of Europe and most of America.
Well, they would absolutely be the progenitors of the power of a one-world government.
Yeah,
because out of sheer numbers.
Right,
now,
out of sheer numbers, yeah.
Yeah, but we have the edge by sheer power, firepower, et cetera, et cetera. Now, stupid, but Clinton, in my estimation, really blew it by giving them our launch coordinates so that they can mimic our defense missile systems. I thought that was a huge mistake. But Clinton was a left-side progressive. You have to understand who he is. Okay, yeah, why did he go out for Barack Obama? I think for one reason. Either he thinks that Hillary's going to come back and run again in 16, or either they never did pay off Hillary's campaign bills, and and they kept him on the hook for it through the election. But, this was too much. When you have to do the things that you do here to stay elected and things. Now, Sticks, I got to ask you, do you think my plan for America is a bad plan?
No, I think it's perfectly doable. I agree with it.
And
I got no problem with forcing somebody to take care of their child. As a matter of fact, when I was in the service, I was in the Navy with a guy who had a Scottish wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the law. That was the law in Scotland in the 80s. I don't know if it still is, that when an unmarried woman walked into the delivery room,
yeah,
there was a man's name going on that birth certificate, or there was no government money went to that woman.
I know that's right. Well, that's the way you have to be, because it's insane otherwise. You cannot have people doing what they do to survive. Because I'll guarantee you, out of all welfare recipients, I'll bet you 99.9% of them voted Obama.
Oh, you know they did.
Okay, why? Because they know what they're going to get.
And well, we've got to stop rewarding bad behavior in this country.
We must.
You know, we tax people that work hard, we tax them more,
right?
And we reward people for bad behavior by
right.
giving them free stuff.
Free stuff.
Does that make any sense to anybody?
But, Six, I disagree with you. I disagree with your point of saying that you can't force a man to be a father.
No.
That's one thing.
I don't
want
to force him to be a father. I want to force him to pay for his child.
That you don't understand as a woman. Do you know that, Six, as a woman, that there are some women based in this world that are there to screw it up with men? They are basically there to say, I don't care if I'm going to bring a child no matter what. And if you got to pay for it, I'll make you pay for it. Even though the man, where's the right of the father? Where's the right of the man?
Oh, he's got the right.
He's got the right. He's got the right to keep
right.
his thing in his pants.
Right,
it.
Yeah.
You should know that Roe versus Wade said that we don't have any rights. Because if we did have rights, trust me, we would sure have the same right as a woman. That means if a woman decided in her life to bring a kid in this world, and the guy said no, and you could sign a paper and say, I don't want to know nothing about you. Trust me, a lot of women would not get pregnant.
But the bottom line is, I think the intent of what, it's just a matter of fact. I mean, any argument that is an argument against taking responsibility, particularly when we're talking about this, is a weak argument. So unless you have an alternative to that, do you have another way of them taking responsibility, then that
right
you want
to
hear. But any argument...
Right. Okay, I have a thing. Give the same right to the man that the women have.
What's
then
that?
You'll see what happens.
What do you mean give the same right?
Versus Wade. Say to the man, you know what? You sign a paper, and if you didn't want to be, you didn't want to be a father, sign a paper saying to that woman you didn't want to be a father, and we'll take out the responsibility of that, like the woman has that choice also.
How was that taking responsibility for unzipping
because
your pants? How does that take responsibility? How was that taking responsibility for willingly unzipping your pants and having unprotected sex?
Let me tell you why.
Stanley, you ain't listening to the man. He was saying something to you.
I said, how does that account for a man taking responsibility for unzipping his pants and having unprotected sex with a woman?
Okay. How does it take the responsibility of the woman?
Wait a minute, man. You're still with. I asked you a question as a man.
To bring a kid in this world without the consent of a man.
Oh, boy.
Well, here's the thing, Stanley. Here's the problem. It doesn't matter. The man has a dangerous part in all of this. And it doesn't matter whether he is a certain way about it or not. He doesn't want it. Well, wait a minute. Wait. It doesn't matter because guess what? He's the one that's going to be helping cause this thing to happen. So therefore, if he gets the girl pregnant,
wow,
he's responsible to take care of that child if she keeps.
If he went with the girl and told him he never wanted to have a kid, he's not responsible for that.
Then he's responsible because he's stupid.
Wait a minute, Stanley. So what are you saying? You're saying that if a man gets with a woman and he tells her up front, hey, I don't want no babies, and she said, well, I'm not on any birth control, then who's responsible for it? Then he has to make a decision at that point.
Okay. And
what are you saying?
But even if he does make that decision to do use the condom, and let's say the condom broke, which happens, by the way, people.
Oh, boy.
He did take his responsibility because you keep on saying he didn't. There are some men who do take the responsibility. I'm taking the condom.
Stanley.
You want to be a father.
Stanley.
Super weird.
Stanley, did you watch Michael Vick? Did you watch Michael Vick get that concussion yesterday?
No, I didn't watch
that.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, guess what? Michael Vick got his head hit on the ground twice yesterday.
Okay.
Guess what? He ain't giving everybody else the responsibility for his head getting hit. He took the risk to play football. Okay, so if he took the risk to get a football, he knew good and doggone well to earn them millions he's earning. that he very well could get his head hit and get a concussion sometime. So guess what? He's spending his money along with insurance or whatever it is they got for him to make sure that he heals up from having this concussion. Well, guess what? That person, I don't care whether the rubber breaks, that's part of the game.
That's right.
You better have some no-faulting. Stanley, you better have some. Wait a minute. I'm going to let you talk. But you better have some no-fault rubber insurance.
Right. So that the condom, if the rubber breaks, the condom company got to pay for the baby. There we go.
Hey, hey. Mm-hmm. If the rubber breaks, you can't pay late.
Sue the condom company.
Sue them.
Yeah.
Sue them to raise your kid. No, you're going to be responsible.
Oh,
412, you are on the air this afternoon with Tracy and friends.
Yeah,
hold on, Stanley. I'm going to bring you back in.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Alex.
What's up, Alex?
Jeff Sticks. That was a good one. I got to say, my problem in all this is that, you know, women have the power to have a child, but then, you know, I am, I guess you'd say, pro-life or whatever. But see, the problem that I have is that a woman can get pregnant, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and then she can make a choice of whether or not to terminate that pregnancy, but the man has no say so in that. You see, and so she it's really up to her whether or not she's going to, you know, entangle a man financially and in every other way for the next 18 years or not. And
Mr.
so.
Mr. Solutions used that as his argument against women being able to charge child support because the man said that he didn't want to do it and she didn't have an abortion, that, you know, then he should be left out of the loop. But because she can have an abortion, blah, 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 he was using that argument, which was a really brilliant legal argument. But guess what? There's
mm-hmm.
always a chance that whatever you're thinking about fails. Either that woman wants to hold you, and she's going to have you for 18 years after that at least.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it be from afar or not, you have to think about this.
But my thing is this, though. If a woman has that ability, if the government's going to grant her that power, then I think that there should be, unless the two people are married, then there should be some kind of agreement that's drafted up that says, okay, yeah, I want this child. And if the man doesn't agree that he wants to have that child, then he shouldn't be responsible then. Because
I don't want it.
Because if a woman can say that this is my body and at one point you have responsibility and ownership of it, but then when something happens, then you don't want responsibility. You can have it both ways.
Can I ask him a question?
Go ahead.
The rationale on the flip side. But let's stay with the rationale on the side before all this happens. It sounds like with that rationale, you're trying to let the man wiggle out of his personal responsibility in the first place.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that both people are responsible for their own bodies. And so in one instance, you know, when it's advantageous to the woman, Joe, she's responsible for her own body. You ain't gonna have to tell me I gotta have this baby. I'm gonna abort it. You know,
Alex, show me how the conversation starts when you walk up to her before you even lay down and you're thinking about doing. Tell me how that plays out. Walk me through that.
But Alex, we've
quit playing,
enough.
Alex. Walk me through that conversation.
Hold on, hey Alex. But we've talked enough before though that. I mean, I think I know where you're coming from, because you would also say the woman should get no public assistance either.
Exactly.
For making her said decision.
Yep, exactly.
So well, there you go. See, and that's where we're at. You know, if there was no public money to be had here, the conversation would be different.
Yeah, it'd be totally
yep.
different. Did you hear my plan earlier?
Yeah,
Alex,
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Well, that's why we were on this. I'll be right back. I got to pay a couple bills, then we're going to finish talking about this. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark LaVoie, WSOM News. A Sunday morning broad daylight shootout in Warren left one man dead and another one injured. The incident took place on Elm Court Northeast. 32-year-old Marco Dukes died after he was flown to a hospital in Cleveland. A second victim is identified as Larry Smith. Two suspects are in custody. A federal judge who has skewered Ohio in the past over the way it carries out executions is heaping praise on the system and the state prison's director in a recent ruling. The comments by the judge raised the possibility that successful challenges that focused on the execution process in Ohio could be coming to an end. The judge's ruling last week declined to stop the execution of a man scheduled to die Tuesday for a stabbing death in 1997. Federal and Ohio fish experts are trying to restore the number of native lake trout in Lake Erie. During the past week, about 120,000 lake trout fingerlings have been stocked. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoie, WSOM News.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassatech.com.
There's a Fidelity U.S. coach running the road today. Why aren't you on it? Fidelity U.S. coach in Boardman and Alliance and WSOM are going pink with a donation to the American Breast Cancer Association for all charters and tours booked for a limited time. U.S. coach has money-saving day and overnight trips for you to all the regions, new and exciting casinos, and shopping destinations. Call 1-800-U.S.-COACH and go pink this season with U.S. coach and WSOM.
And now, Crestview Auto Body presents The Secret Conversations of Deer.
So, back from car baiting again, Mr. Daredevil?
Yep, but that's not why I do it, though.
This ought to be good. Why do you jump in front of cars?
The signs.
What signs?
Those insulting signs.
What's wrong now?
Those deer crossing signs are an insult to all self-respecting deer. I don't look like that. You don't look like that. And what's with this leaping pose? We're not always leaping.
So that's why you're jumping in front of cars?
I'm not just jumping in front of cars. I'm taking a stand against the man. Oh, here comes another one. Join me in the fight!
Crestview Auto Body doesn't really know why that deer jumped in front of your car, but we do know how to fix it after, with the area's most expert collision repair. Crestview Auto Body, like it never happened, with locations in New Waterford, Salem, and Calcutta.
The Northeast Ohio Ford dealers, Cumulus Radio of Youngstown, and the Rotary Clubs of Boardman and Poland want to make a difference this fall by partnering with Operation Warm. This organization strives to provide new coats to children in communities across the nation. Our goal this year is to donate 1,500 brand new coats for kids in our area to keep them warm this season. Coats will be distributed by the local Salvation Army. If you would like to contribute to Operation Warm and Coats for Kids, you'll find more info at the Ford dealer's website, drive1ohio.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Are you looking to secure your financial future? Have you realized?
And we're back once again, the last quarter of the program here, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. I want to remind you that, first of all, we're here broadcasting live on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. We're here Monday through Friday from 12 o'clock to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so we want to talk to you about what's on your mind and give us a little bit of our mind back to you. We enjoyed the day, and we're having fun. We're collecting. We're collecting for the victims of Hurricane Sandy. And if you want to drop off a non-perishable food item, batteries, new blankets, hand warmers, and the likes to Hurricane Sandy victims, then you can go to the Mahoning County GOP headquarters at 621 Boardman Canfield Road, right across from Giant Eagle on 224 out there in Boardman. And from Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and drop off your non-perishable food items, batteries, new blankets, hand warmers, anything like that. At Ambassador Technologies, 3622 Belmont Avenue in Liberty Township, right behind McDonald's up there, you know where that's at. And Fit Family at 45 North Canfield Road, Route 46 in Austintown, Ohio. And they're there from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. Ambassador is there from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. as well. Nemitz Food IGA Food Stores. As long as Nemitz is open, you can drop off some things there at their store on Creed Street in Struthers, Ohio, as well as in Lincoln Oaks Plaza over on McCartney Road on the east side. Ryan's Chair, 2935 Glenwood Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio. They're accepting the same non-perishable food items, batteries, new blankets, hand warmers, etc. And at Charlie Staples, howdy. This is Charlie Staples. Charlie Staples sound like this. You say,
howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue.
Charlie Staples Barbecue, 372 West Rand Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio, from noon to 9 p.m. daily. Monday through Saturday. So get on down by these places and drop off your items, and we will be taking them up there. WSOM 600 AM, Tracy and friends, and several other people. We will be doing this for the victims of the hurricane up there. So now we're going to finish this out. We had Alex on there trying to tell a man he don't have to worry about getting a girl pregnant if he gets her pregnant.
Yeah, but he's got a point. If there was no public assistance to be had, I think things would be all. I think things would be the behaviors would be altogether different.
Oh, sure, they would be.
Well, hey, Jeff, I was just laughing on the break. It sounds like what Alex said is, hey, let's screw and talk later. Let's talk afterwards about the consequences.
Right.
But wouldn't you agree with me though? If there was no public assistance to be had, that there'd be a lot less hanky panky.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, in the old days when you had a baby out of wedlock, you got sent down south, or if you were down south, you got sent up north. Okay.
Yeah, and there was also something else. You know, the wedding was a formal one, or daddy had a white shotgun.
Yeah. If there was a wedding.
There's got to be a wedding, trust me.
Because I'm telling you, my daddy was abandoned, and so I don't know what happened, you know, but he was abandoned in a railroad station. And so I don't know whether his parents ever got together, whether it was an interracial relationship or what it was. It don't matter. I'm just glad I'm here. I'm here. 330-831, you're on the air.
Jeff, I just wanted to my phone went dead, and I had to wait to call you guys back. I love your insurance. I think we need to start a business for that. I love that.
Hey.
And Michigan had a great answer. But I wanted to call and thank both of you for being veterans today. And it was nice to have that wonderful belly laugh, because, you know, that's a difference. You know, to laugh like that so hard and do fun things. So thank you.
Well, you know what?
I'm a little out of breath.
You're quite welcome. And
thank God we can still do that here in America. We're allowed to laugh. I know some people that were in contact with a national from another country, and they listened to the show, and the person was cringy, and they were wondering how we were able to speak about politics so freely. Well, we're able to do it because we're free for now, and I pray that we stay that way.
What about that guy that made the movie? He's still locked up.
Yeah. The guy that made the anti-Islam movie. Okay, so now he's locked up for supposedly violating his probation, quote unquote. But nothing else is happening. But what I'm going to tell you is the state of our nation and the state of several communities in the nation is all due to behavior. They say, I can't legislate righteousness. I understand that I can't make you do anything. But I can sure curtail the activity a little bit, okay?
Well, you got to make improper behavior miserable. The results of improper behavior just have to be so miserable that people don't engage in the improper behavior.
Mm-hmm. 334, you're on the air out there.
Hey, this is Alabama. I initially called earlier and spoke about the laying off of a lot of people. Some people I know are getting laid off too. But I guess, you know, part of, you know, and I'm asking you guys a question. Do you feel like part of it, I mean, although we know that there's been a lot of cheating going on, if he did win the election, which I really don't know if he did or didn't, do you think that it's probably best that sometimes Boehner and the Republicans get out of their way and let them do what they're, because it's going to lead to destruction. We know that. Sometimes fighting gives the impression of the two are equal or even, and everybody with their valid point. Sometimes you just have to let people fall on their face, because you, like Jesse Jackson Jr. won 65% of his vote in rehab.
Right.
I mean, you know, people that think like that, they're gonna run off the ravine and down a cliff. It's just a matter of time. So Barack Obama and all his stuff, it's just, to me, it's like you have to kind of, sometimes you have to let people fall on their face to see what's going on. And, you know, in 3 years when Obamacare is fully functional, if Bush would be a been out of office, what, 7, 8 years almost?
Yeah.
They had the House and the Senate since 06. I mean, it's going to be almost 10 strong years where they're going to be able, they can't say that anything that's happened in the last 10 years is not going to be under Democrat fault. And I think it's best that, you know, they see this, America sees this, and really goes in and really tries to take this on down. Because if not, we, you know, if we get some Republicans and say we don't want the Senate, Obama doesn't care. I mean, you know, his people, they're saying they're going to go around the Congress and the Senate and do what they force through what they want. So even though it hurts, I think it's best that he gets in and we really see this country while he's in office. Let's see them post their pictures of him while he's making these speeches. And all this Barack and Michelle stuff on Ebony, all the magazines. Let's see them say all that while they're unemployed and why they can't eat and why their gas is $6-$7 and unemployment is up in the 20s. Let's see how they feel then, because that's what it's going to take.
Well, I agree with you that it's going to take that because, you know, nothing beats, you know, somebody telling you, but you experiencing it. That's the only thing that does. And if you don't look at this and don't look at it for what it is, you're going to be in a heck of a lot of trouble in just a minute. And I'm not trying to scare anybody or make anybody.
Prepare.
We want you to be
prepared.
Glenn
Beck on the radio the other day, Glenn Beck played, I think it was John Stewart, making fun of him for saying people should have food storage and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet you there's a whole lot of people in New Jersey and New York right now wish they had a case of MREs in the house.
I know they do, too.
But it was a
do.
Big joke until this storm hit. And we've got an economic storm coming, you know, and you can either prepare for it or not. You know, like I was telling Jeff in the break earlier, you know, when they tell me it's going to get, we're going to have a blizzard here in Ohio, I go out, I close, make sure the buildings are all closed up, feed the animals, and I go in the house, and I sit down with a nice cup of hot coffee and watch it snow. And if the power goes out, I go turn the generator on. And it's no big deal. And snow's awful nice and lovely to watch when you're sitting inside where it's warm looking out at it. But if you're sleeping in it, it isn't very pretty. So, you know, people need to prepare for this coming economic storm. And if you're not prepared for it, you're going to be sleeping in the snow.
But let me ask you something, though. Don't you think that, let's say when it does come down, which it is, it's guaranteed, the media's on Obama's side. They're going to spin it and blame it on the Republicans. So it's like everything is their fault. Everything good is the Republicans. Like if the economy is resilient and bounces a little bit back after Obamacare is implemented, it's going to be because of Obama. Nobody's going to look at, well, yeah, we're at 8%, but we went up to 14. Now we're back to 8 because of what Obama did. That's how they're going to think. They're not going to think,
right,
maybe we shouldn't have let him get in there in the first. They're not going to think that.
But you know, there's going to come a point where you can't hide the truth anymore. There's going to become a point where you're going to realize.
Well, I mean, they just took 88 counties up there, and they're hiding it right now. I mean, nobody. I'm only, if I wasn't on Drudge Report and looking for this stuff, no one knew that the country's not talking about. They took 88 counties up there. Nobody knows.
He didn't take 88 counties in Ohio. He only took 18, but he took the right 18. Obama only won 18 counties in the state of Ohio, but it was the right 18 counties.
Okay, let me ask you this. How much of a percentage did he win on those counties?
Well, that's the thing. It was astronomical.
And
there
were precincts in Cleveland with zero Romney votes. And statistically, that's impossible.
Hey, if Romney just gets in the car and goes up there and says, hey, if you voted for me, show up at this, and you get 30, 40,000 people showing up in those counties saying they voted for him. That's what I'm saying. He's not willing to fight.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
In the community where I was from, I used to be a politician. And we won some recalls and lost some recalls, some real good battles. But then we have a saying in our city, in politics, when you win, you win. And when you lose, you lose.
I won't even argue with that.
But someone let you adopt that in politics, man. When you win, you win.
Michigan man, I'm gonna tell you just like this. I'm so sick of hearing Bush stole the election. Well, Obama just might have stolen one. So I mean, I'm not claiming it, but he just might have. But the point is this: it's not going to stop because what's going on is, people have no idea how America works. And when they don't understand how it works, they vote foolishly. And when they vote foolishly...
But the reason why they don't know how it works is because most people don't operate their own business. They don't deal with it on that level. They work for somebody else.
Well, that may be true. That may be true, but you don't have to be there like that for you to understand that these people are laying people off because of Obamacare.
Yeah, but the only way you would understand that, you would have to understand how business works. And the only way you understand how business works is you have to be in it, involved in it.
I think when you're in the unemployment line, that's going to make you understand it a little bit better.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, you got a lot of people mad at Papa John's right now saying the guy's racist because Obama's in office. Him laying people, him freezing hiring, he has a body. That man did not go in business to provide health care for people. And I really blame my education system for pumping out these ignorant people. That's the bottom line.
I agree with that.
And I mean ignorant not in a bad way, but I'm just saying ignorant in the sense of
ignorant
not
without
understanding.
Yeah.
They're just ignorant. They don't understand. If you sit out here, I would never get mad at somebody who's wealthy. I go in, any one of us in the sound of my voice go into business. They're going into business for them and their family, and I don't blame them. Right. If I work for them, I wouldn't be mad at them. If I work for you, Michigan, and you run a company, which I'm sure you say you do some business,
yes.
I wouldn't get mad at you if you tell me, man, my bottom line, I got to let you go. I would understand. Just like that just happened to me the other day because this guy won the election. And the guy sat there and looked and told me that. And what can I say? I can't get mad at nobody when they got a certain amount of employees they got to pay. I just got there back in May. And so I got to go. I lost my job. You feel what I'm saying? It's not fair. It's not fair to him. And I understand, but I understand his situation because let me tell you something. If I was in his situation, I have to let the new guy. It's not because I'm black. They're letting white people go. Everybody. Asians, Indians, a lot of Indians guys getting cut. It's not just racism. It's 1 + 1 = 2. And right now, when I see people dancing in the streets and screaming and Uncle Obama. I'm like, do you really know what you're really saying?
Because no.
Is not jobs. It's not jobs. It's free healthcare. And fuck free healthcare. Let's go with jobs first. Then worry about the healthcare system. That was stupid. That's his. That's he got in there to get entitlement. And that's what it was. He wants to be considered the guy that gave us something free instead of saying the guy that put us back to work and got unemployment down to 3.9%.
Ask the 9,000 coal miners that lost their jobs last month. Also, you can ask right here in Ohio, Murray Cole. He just laid off 160 on Thursday. Same thing.
Yeah,
they were hiding government reports. They wouldn't even they hid stuff. The food stamps have gotten to an all time high. It even broke the record last month. They held it till after the election. Stuff like that, man. That's sad.
We spent $1 trillion in 2011 on transfer payments. $1 trillion, more than we spent on defense or Social Security or Medicare. So don't tell me we're not trying to take care of the poor in this country. We just ain't doing it right.
And then the Republicans let people play straw man arguments. You want people to die in the streets. You want people to starve. You want people to. It's crazy. I'm like, I wouldn't. And we spend a lot of time trying to debate people about stuff we never said. Like, I never said I wanted poor people to go to. What are you talking about? Whoever said that? I want you to be on it for the next 40 years. That's all I'm saying.
That's the Republicans' fault because they don't defend themselves, number one. They don't defend their own, number two. And then they come up with these cockamamie schemes to try to win.
Mitt Romney wasn't a good idea anyway.
We said that earlier in the year, did we not?
We needed a black guy like a Herman Cain, Alan Keyes type, and then probably Marco Rubio for the Latino. You got to do it because people think hate. People voting for hate right now.
Get out of here, y'all. Tracy will be back here tomorrow. I'm going to get my sister on one day this week as well and let her talk about the aftermath, and that is Prophetess Pam Vanette. She'll be back in town, and that's where I'll be tomorrow going to pick her up. And we're going to have some fun this weekend talking about all the things that we need to talk about. But what I'm telling you while we're going right now, watch the news on Benghazi. Watch the news on General
Petraeus.
And watch the news on what's going on in Israel right now with them having the shell into Syria. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon with Tracy and friends. We'll see you later. God bless.
This is Henry Nemmons, inviting you to shop Nemmons IGA on the square in Canfield, the Lincoln Knowles Plaza, or Creed Street in Struthers. Nemmons IGA meats are USDA choice. Nemmons Bakery makes all cakes from scratch, the very best Italian bread in town. Nemmons IGA, quality you deserve. Quality, selection, and value. That's Nemmons IGA.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. At least one member of Congress apparently knew in advance about the FBI investigation that led to Friday's resignation of CIA Director David Petraeus. House GOP leader Eric Cantor's spokesman says a Virginia Republican first heard about the Petraeus affair from an FBI source more than 2 weeks ago. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.